For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 231. My name's Turner Sparks.
And I am Michael Kaplan.
You can find me at turnersparks.com. Buy my album, Turner Sparks, live from the Friars Club, at Turner Sparks on Instagram. Find Kaplan at Cap in America on all social media platforms. Kaplan, on the podcast today, we have Bata Batbileg, a comedian from Mongolia. And I'm very proud I just nailed his name. I was practicing it before we went on the air.
He's doing a great job with the pronunciations.
Number one comedian in Mongolia.
And, No.
If you don't believe us, just ask Matt Davis. He said, there's multiple, but because he's the one doing our podcast, he's number one in our hearts, Kaplan.
He's number one. The rest of them are they're the enemy at this point. If you don't come on our podcast, when we set out the bat signal and we say we're doing this topic, whoever says yes first, you become our favorite comedian for life.
Yes.
And the rest of you guys.
And we're going to be talking with him in just a minute about the Mongolian government. There seems to be a battle going on between the president of the country and the parliament of the country. And so we're going to find out about that in a minute. And thanks to Matt Davis for connecting us. But before we get to that, Kaplan, Patreon. Oh, we have a new Patreon subscriber. Can you find out who it is, Kaplan?
I believe his name is Dennis Owens.
Welcome to the show. We made the last week. We put the word out. We said we're now back up to 51 Patreon subscribers, which is good. It's nowhere near the 10,000 we're looking for, but we'll take it.
Somewhere in between 51 and 10,000. Well, I'll be okay with.
You got to build one at a time. We said last week that we will make a money back guarantee. We're so proud of. So go to patreon.com/lostinamerica to support this show. This show we give you for free. So why not throw us $5 a month? You get not only this show, you get three extra shows Kaplan and I do every single week. Just Kaplan and I doing a full throttle half hour comedy podcast, comedy show. Listen to it on your way to work, on your way home from work, on the treadmill,
in the shower,
the shower, while
walking the dog.
TV. Why not? Just
turn the TV down.
listen to us. We said, anyone who joins, we will give a 1 month money back guarantee. We don't even get that money back from Patreon.
Money on that. Yeah.
I will put a $5 bill in the mail and mail it to your house, Boomer style. And Dennis Owens said, I'll take that deal. And he threw us $10 a month. So join Dennis Owens. You'll get a shout out on this show, just like Dennis Owens, out to our millions of listeners. How about that?
Yeah. And it's a great show. You know, I had the shot yesterday, my second shot of the vaccine. So I'm a little low energy. I would never do that for the Patreon show. This is the free show. I could be low energy for you people. But
yes.
Patreons get my absolute best always.
They pay for it.
They pay for it. I will take $5. I might dust a little anthrax on it, put it in the mail, send it to you. If you really don't like
Kaplan
the show.
Kaplan is
but
I think a terrorist, like ladies and gentlemen.
I think you will like the show. Give it a chance. Just 1 month. Give us a chance. So
Kaplan turned into begging there.
I'm begging. I don't want to have to go back to work. I am everything's opening up. I've gotten two shots. I'm going to have to go back to my day job soon. If we don't get
money back guarantee. Also, Kaplan, we are now very close. When we hit $400 a month, we will throw a once a year party at the Friars Club in New York City for all of our Patreon subscribers and only our Patreon subscribers.
We will have a bouncer who's like 10 feet tall with a list.
Yes.
And a headset. And he will not only send you away if you're not a Patreon subscriber, he will shame you and maybe beat you up a little. So
yeah. You'll get beat up if you don't subscribe to our Patreon.
You're walking by the party.
You know what? He'll just go find people on the street who don't subscribe to us and go beat. Just go on a rampage.
Wait, why don't we hire some toughs, to actually go and physically force people to sign up for Patreon?
That's a good idea, because obviously playing nice isn't working.
This is not working. We need to hire the mob or something.
Let's enlist the Sheep's Head Bay. Isn't that where they live?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of, it depends which mob we want.
Let's get the Russian mob. They seem like they can get down to business.
They will take care of some, yeah.
The Italian mob hasn't done a lot lately.
They will take 99% of our Patreon money, but we'll at least feel good about ourselves.
Yeah, but it'll be a bigger pie.
Exactly.
We'll get 1% of a much bigger pie.
Yeah. All right. Great idea.
They'll get us $400 a month. I'll tell you that much. Sheep's Head Bay.
They'll make us pay for the party, though. So, yeah. But anyway.
All right. Kaplan, here's what I know. On to today's episode, I know that in Mongolia, I lived in China for 12 years, and Mongolia was as our neighbor. So, our neighbors to the north, they're the Canada of Asia.
That's why I'm counting on you to be the expert, because, Mongolia, I have to admit, I had to look really at the map closely today. I'm a little ignorant. This is a blind spot.
So ignorant and an ignorant terrorist. You don't find
an ignorant terrorist. Yeah. I wasn't sure exactly where.
So what I know about Mongolia is I do remember that they had we pronounce it Ulaanbaatar, but I know that's the capital. That's pronounced wildly incorrectly. And I know that their slogan was horseplay encouraged. I remember that was in all the airports around China. Come to Ulaanbaatar, horseplay encouraged.
Is that like their Vegas thing? Like what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas?
Horseplay encouraged. But it was like you can give people noogies and stuff,
Oh, that's what they mean by horseplay. There's a wide range of horseplay.
Roughhousing. I think it also meant they had horses. I think they have a lot of horses up there. You can go to horseback rides. But for the purpose of today's episode, the president, this is the headline that we read. The president has outlawed the opposition party. So the president is part of the Democratic Party of Mongolia.
Yeah. Typical Democrats.
And the Mongolian People's Party is the opposition party, and they run the Congress. He's the president, but they run the Congress. So he decided just to get rid of them. And he said, that makes it easy. That way I don't have to deal with them anymore.
Well, I mean, they came up with a much better name for a party. The Mongolian People's Party is a better name. You just call yourself the Democratic Party, you're losing.
You can be in any country. Swedish Democratic Party? But they did Mongolian people. So, okay, we know it's in Mongolia at least.
So, and that's why we saw that we're doing some research that they have the president only has 12 seats in the parliament, I believe, of his party.
You mean his party?
His party. The other party seems to be dominating. So I understand why he would try to outlaw them. In my mind, when you're losing badly, when you're down 12 to 64, whatever the math is.
Well, yeah, but you're a racist terrorist / now an authoritarian leaning dictator.
You just get rid of them.
You can't outlaw other parties. But then I read a little more into it, Kaplan.
Yeah.
And it turned out that the reason why he's trying to outlaw the other party, which you agree with on its face, you don't need any explanation. You just like outlawing other parties. But the reason
I was in favor. He had me at outlawing parties.
Yeah. Much easier. But the reason why he's trying to do it does make a bit of sense. It's because in the middle of his term, the opposition party, who controls the Congress, just voted to only allow him to be president for one term.
Oh, so before that, you were allowed multiple terms?
You were allowed multiple terms. And they said, well, we got to get this guy out. Let's just make this a one-term deal. Mm. And then he said, well, if you're going to make me one term, I'm going to get rid of you.
I'm just going to get
cancel each other. And so the question is, does democracy... For today's episode, is democracy in peril in Mongolia? I'm not sure. You can look at it as either side. Both sides are trying to get rid of
democracy. Both sides are trying to destroy democracy. It's the one thing they agree on.
Yes. So, Batab Batbilig, welcome to the show. Everybody, check him out. He's the owner of UB Comedy Club, which is the number one comedy club in Asia because Kung Fu Comedy Club does not exist anymore.
Mm. Got rid of the enemy.
But it's also a great comedy club. Matt Davis has performed there. He said, you got to get this guy on. He's fantastic. His club's the best. And also, Batbilig is a comedian in his own right and super famous. You look him up. He has millions of views on YouTube there in Mongolia. So welcome all our new Mongolian fans and welcome Batbilig to the show. How did we do on that explanation of your country's government?
Yeah. Hey, guys. Thank you for the introduction.
All the way, and you're currently in Ulaanbaatar, right?
Yeah, I'm a newbie right now. It's pronounced Ulaanbaatar.
So you got one wrong, Turner.
Okay, 0 for 1.
Yeah, Yeah, so it's 12 midnight right now. So
that's why you're drinking a beer over there, I see.
So. Yeah, I'm you know, speaking to you from the future. It's the 12th of May right now.
Whoa, so, yeah, we're drinking coffee. You're drinking Coors Light or whatever they got.
Yeah, so you basically, you guys got it right. In America, the president, you know, he runs the government, right?
Yes.
Mongolia, the president is he's like a symbol of unity, you know. He's a symbolic figure, and he's elected from all the people, from all the districts and all the areas. And like last year, the ruling party, the Mongolian People's Party, they updated. I don't have a lot of vocabulary on the legal vocabulary.
No problem.
Yeah. They updated the
constitution.
Yeah. And they made it so that president have only one term for 6 years. Previously, it was like two terms. President cannot run, for two terms for 8 years, right?
4 years each term.
Yeah, in total, 8 years.
Yeah.
So, but the president actually last year, he was involved in the updating of the constitution. No. I don't know how it got slipped, you know, slipped out of his.
He didn't know what he was signing. Yeah.
Yeah. And he signed
the fine print.
His secretary just said, sign this, date this. And he goes, okay, I got to go to lunch. Yeah. But
it's
sure.
Like one of those user agreements on iTunes or something. It's you just click agree, agree, agree.
Yeah. It was too lazy. exactly. Cap got it right, man. Yeah, he's secretary, I think advisor, was very involved in the process of the constitutional updating. And the new constitution was going about to be active, in use this May 2021.
Yes.
And I think the president didn't know that.
Whoops.
I don't know why. That's what the people on social media are talking about. Like, how did he like sign, like for, you know, maybe he should have like prolonged the action of the constitution for one more year, like maybe next year it would be like active. Well,
and for him, he's currently in his first term, right?
Right. It's the fourth year, right?
So
it's fourth year is the last year.
I read there was a question of when he signed it. It was when they signed it, when they all passed it in 2019. It was not clear whether that only one term president thing would also apply to him, or if this meant starting after him. So maybe he thought like, well, yeah, it doesn't after me. Well, I'm grandfathered in is what we would say. Right. But it turns out, and then he found out, it said that it went to the courts, and on April 16th, the courts decided, well, that thing you signed in 2019 does apply to you. It's not magically applying after you. So on April 16th is when he flipped out. And he said, "All right, what? Yeah. I didn't know this was me. I'm going to abolish the other party."
Yeah, basically what he did was he issued a decree to like saying that the ruling party was breaking laws, constitutional laws, that the ruling party was becoming militarized. And that was the main point, and some other stuff, and basically saying that this party is they're going to destroy democracy in Mongolia, so this party needs to disband.
So to make sure they don't destroy democracy, he's going to destroy democracy.
It's preemptive war. I like it.
Yeah. But it does. So it seems. So basically, this goes back to he should have looked at the Constitution in 2019 when he signed it, but
he should have asked his lawyers.
What's going on?
You always get a second opinion. I mean, my grandmother, she had Alzheimer's, and we had to get her to sign something, and she said, "I need to have someone look over this before I sign it."
Even
in Alzheimer's, she remembered a lesson her like father had taught her or something. You never just sign something, so he should have had his lawyers look over that. But was it six? Was he thinking he was going to have 6 years at least, or no? Because the new term is 6 years,
yeah.
Right?
I think he thought that he was going to have 6 years for one term, and the minority party called the Mongolian it's a National Workers Party. That's the closest I think.
Yeah,
I can translate. Workers Party. They went to the court, like a court that oversees the constitution, and they filed a complaint, like,
yeah,
and they were like, could you check like if this president is like viable to stay for 6 years, or is, and the court decided like no, he's out.
So he gets 1 4-year term.
Yeah, he really gets screwed.
Oh, that is really yeah. screwed. Yeah. So I mean, why did the Mongolian People's Party, why did they want to change it from 2 4-year terms to 1 6-year term? Is it just because they didn't like him and they wanted to get him out?
No, because every party that was the ruling party wanted to update the constitution because it had some flaws. You know, the president should be just a symbolic figure, but the president can appoint judges, prosecutors. And some prosecutors that they work for anti-corruption agency. So the last president, like from the current president before,
yeah,
he used his powers to like appoint judges, and he used it against his political opposition and enemies, opponents, just create cases or just use it to his own advantage. So the parties wanted to make the prime minister more powerful, and he appoints his cabinet. Before that, the parliament used to appoint the cabinet of the government. So there was a lot of parliament members. They would appoint themselves as the government. Government ministers, and they would be a parliament member and be a government minister.
Yeah,
and that way, and they would like not prosecute themselves, not check their powers, and it was flawed.
So it seems like in a parliamentary system, usually the prime minister is the one that they're makes in charge all of the government.
Yeah,
yes,
and so that's kind of what it looks like Mongolia was trying to get to. What about, okay, so, and then he just agreed to that. So, but if in the elections, like when you guys have elections, is it thought of, because I know you guys have free elections, people vote, you have democracy, all that kind of stuff, which is unusual. You have China to the south of you, Russia to the north of you. Is it thought of as when we vote for the president, we're voting for the most powerful person? Or is it thought of when we vote for the party and the prime minister, we vote for the most powerful person among people?
The parliament elections are the most, most significant election. But Mongolian governance system is kind of like unique like that. The president can appoint. President is the commander in chief of the army, so he can move. He can move the army.
Okay,
and he can appoint judges, like prosecutors and stuff. So the president has some power. So
he was elected because in figurehead countries, the presidents aren't usually elected, right? They're usually appointed, I believe.
Appointed from the parliament, but
but he's elected. And what about he had said, I know now this story we're talking about, we should have said probably earlier. It came on like April 25th, April 24th, somewhere around there when he called to get rid of the other party. Right. And he also called for the people of the country to protest in the streets in support of him.
How'd that go?
Did that happen?
Not really, because it was...
He only has 12 members. He's not very popular, I don't think, his party. So.
Well, yeah, as Kaplan's saying, he has 12 members of parliament out of 74 or something, 76.
Yeah, even his own party is now divided in two, because... Yeah, they have two stamps, the two like official stamps of the party, and now the Democratic Party is fighting, you know, in between, inside, fighting inside.
What do you mean stamps? They have like two different fractions. You mean?
Factions? Yeah, two different fractions and two different like official like stamps. The stamps that you like make something legitimate.
Oh, you mean to like sign a law or like?
Or, no, like the,
to
like the party ruler's stamp, you know, the you sign it and put a stamp on.
Oh, okay. So no, I don't know what that. No, here it would just be you sign your signature. So I don't know if it'd be like an official. Like it has to be. You mean like if somebody from the party who works for it, they have to show that it was part of the party. There's like a.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Officiate the stamp, the document.
And we have nuclear codes, so maybe.
Yeah.
one of those, I hope.
Yeah, but you know, the head of the Democratic Party is fighting with the president. So
they don't agree with him, with what he's doing.
So basically. The president, you know, he built his own faction.
Yeah, it's faction
inside the Democratic Party, and they're fighting between themselves, and now the Democratic Party is in a very bad situation now, right before the presidential election. And
is he more popular though than the rest of the party? Because the fact that he could get elected tells me, when it doesn't seem like the party is very popular, shows, is he have a personal appeal to the people? I mean, or no, am I reading that wrong?
Well, I can't say that he's really that popular, but he has his you know, devoted voters, and his initial like campaign slogan was "Mongolia wins," and he portrayed himself. He is not really that good. And, he
portrayed as himself.
Huh?
Not as good as horse playing courage, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah, he portrays himself as the strong, you know, strong macho man and the wrestler. He was actually like a gold medalist, like world champion wrestler.
Oh yeah, was he in the Olympics?
No, he was in the like sambo wrestling world championship, and he won the.
Is that real wrestling?
Real wrestling, not fake, not professional.
Sambo
wrestling?
Is like a. It's like a combat wrestling originated from Russia. Like it's,
whoa.
I think it's really hardcore.
So why doesn't he just beat up the parliament?
Yeah, we should hire this guy for our Patreon.
Yeah, I think he would prefer that if he could, you know.
So he's just like a tough guy.
Yeah, you know, people say in the streets, you know, he's like, you know, involved in a lot of like shady stuff. And
So what's he going to do now that he's called for everyone to protest in the streets and that didn't happen? And he's also called for the dissolution of the other party, to get rid of the other party. Did that happen? Did you guys cover that? I stepped away for a second.
No, that did not happen, because the Supreme Court, I think the court that oversees the constitutional law, they did not accept his decree, you know, because they said that it's not legal, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and also, I think the ruling party, you know, they don't just, you know, they don't just disband, you know, when you.
Because
how can like people
to?
In, yeah? How can people like just in power, you know? Just imagine like Trump saying like to the Democratic Party, you know, you guys should quit, you know?
It's bizarre. It's like a real Hail Mary.
And did the Supreme Court listen? Like, imagine arguments in the Supreme Court. Like,
I mean, was there any? Did this guy's in this guy's brain? Did he think that they would actually go away?
No, he was. I think he was just trying to stir up something like, some chaos. You know, people going out in the streets, and I think he was trying to declare a state of emergency and bring in the army and, you know, put the people, people's party people in jail, I think.
Wow.
Maybe.
Does he control the army?
Yeah, he's the commander-in-chief, the president.
So now that didn't happen, when he leaves office in May, or is it May or June?
June.
It's May now. Yeah. Okay. So when he leaves office in June, could he have criminal charges against him for trying to, is that illegal, anything he did?
Yeah. It's like almost like a tradition that Mongolian prime ministers or presidents, they always get, called by the court and by the, prosecutors,
Do they go to prison?
Yeah, one did. One ex-president did, and one a lot of prime ministers did go to prison, because I don't know why, when you're in that position, I think you have to break the law or something. You have to steal. I don't know. It just happens, because everyone is corrupt, The big businesses are like very they have lots of powers and they have lots of influence in the government, and they do like
well, this thing starts like in the United States, we rarely arrest presidents, but maybe never. Have we ever, Kaplan, arrested a president after they left office?
No.
Okay, never. No. And it's this wow. it seems like in the United States, it's this agreement that, and they've definitely, most of them have.
Well, I mean, Ford actually pardoned Nixon, or he could have. Yeah, yes.
Most of them have committed crimes. But the idea is that once, if we arrest the other party, then when they get power, they will arrest people from our party. So it's almost this like rich guy, powerful guy kind of like deal they make with each other. That,
right.
We won't arrest you, but you don't arrest us. Because they know that the minute you start arresting, then everybody's getting arrested on both sides.
It becomes a banana republic. You don't want to do that.
Yeah, and that happens. Well, I mean, you could say whether it's good or bad, but I mean, it happens in a lot of countries where it's just like in Peru, we've talked about in the past, they just start arresting everybody. And that maybe that's what's going on in Mongolia. Because you could for sure arrest American leaders for crimes.
Yeah, like how does that not happen?
Because they agree not to. That's the only. I mean,
Trump could still be arrested. He may break this.
But maybe
he commits
not
so many crimes.
I would be surprised. I would be surprised if Trump got arrested and went to prison. I would be very surprised.
Prison, yes. People in America who are important don't usually go to prison.
They don't go to prison because they know then that you're the minute Trump. If Trump wins 3 years from now, he's going to go arrest everybody on the other side.
Yeah, but he also couldn't deal with prison. Whereas a Samba wrestler, this guy could. Take care of
himself. He's cut out for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. He could be his own prison guard.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So what I want to get into in just a minute, we're going to take a break in a second, but after we come back from the break, I want to get into how this democracy, because it is, Mongolia is a functioning democracy.
Yeah.
How that came about post USSR, post 1990, all that kind of stuff. But Kaplan, before that, we are part of the World's Smartest Podcast Network, proud members of the World's Smartest Podcast
Network. Inaugural members, right? Founding members.
Founding member. We're the founding fathers, some would say. You're our Hancock.
We have a founding mother too, but yes.
Yeah. Well, that's it's a term that can mean it's genderless term.
Genderless.
Andrea Jones-Roy is the host of a Ask a Political Scientist show. She has a new show coming out soon. So subscribe to Ask a Little Political Scientist. Maybe it'll be on the same feed. That's probably a smart move if she does that. And also, Andrew Heaton, the great Andrew Heaton, the great Mighty Heaton, of the Political Orphanage podcast. Check all that out, worldsmartestpodcastnetwork.com. Now, Kaplan, a word from your local sponsor. All right, we're
Thank
back.
You sponsors. We're back.
Wow, that's like...
Thanks to all of them. They're great for sponsoring us.
They're the ones who are keeping the lights on around here.
They keep Cap out of the poorhouse, frankly.
because I can't count on these Patreons, so I got to count on them.
He's Patreon subscriber. I mean, Dennis Owens is doing his part.
Dennis Owens kept me out of the poorhouse this week, but everyone else is trying to put me in the poorhouse. So
trying to put you in.
Yeah.
51 Patreon subscribers. And 51. What's a million minus 51? That's how many non-Patreon subscriber listeners we have. So how did, looking back in Mongolia, half the reason why we wanted to do this episode is just because we don't know much about Mongolia, especially how it came out of, because Mongolia was part of the USSR. Is that correct?
Yes.
Not like actual, like part of the USSR, but we were in the influence sphere. We were
satellite.
Satellite. Our national budget was issued from the USSR. You know, they gave us money. You know, and and in the 90s, a lot of students and university teachers, they were talking about new ideas. You know, free speech, and individual rights and all that stuff. And they went to the main square called Sukhbatar Square. And, I think, and a lot of people say, and my parents say, the people who were in power at that time, who were like the, bread Soviet, people, but they were really chill dudes. You know, they just gave their power. Okay, let's.
You're a communist.
Yeah. They said like, okay, let's trust our young generation, and let's check this democracy thing out. And after that, a lot of
hippies.
Let's check this democracy thing out.
Spicoli running your country.
Yeah, there are like stories like this main secretary of the ruling party. He was like when he stepped down from power, he went like standing in the line for bread, because the economy was shut down. It was a planned economy. Now it's free economy, free market economy. So like everyone's like jungle law,
This was 1992 or what year was this about?
1990 is when they broke away.
1990. Okay.
Yeah. 1990 and 1991 too. I was born in 1992.
Okay.
Yeah. And, I hear stories from my mom, like she was pregnant with me and she was standing in the line for bread and salt. There were like only like three items in the store, oil, bread and salt, nothing else. And a lot of people, a lot of educated people, they just went, broke. They couldn't like adapt to the free market. So they had stable jobs and stable like salaries. Now they just have to like, hustle in the streets, what should they do?
Yeah, because when it goes from, so in 1989 and before then, was it like a communist setup where the totally government planned. Gives you a job, you work at a factory or something, and then overnight, all those factories closed down because they're unnecessary. If you, instead of needing 1,000 workers, in actuality, they might need 100 workers, right? So then 900 people don't have a job. I know that's how it worked in Eastern Europe. Is that similar in Mongolia?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, like everybody went like jobless.
Wow.
Most like factories shut down, and it was up for privatization. And actually, the current president he bought the main meat factory and the bread and bakery factory. It was like a big factory, communist, Soviet style factories. And after the privatization, like everyone went to the streets, and those big factories were so on very low priced, and actually he like bought like stocks from people. People were selling their stocks from the factory for just bread and
stocks. So during communism, did everyone own a part of the factory?
Oh no! After the privatization, like people were like issued stocks.
People were given it.
Given, and like few smart people, few like people in the know. They bought the stocks for very cheap. Cents on the dollar.
And the government kind of gave them a stock of the company they used to work at. So as an idea, is that what happened?
Yeah, I think so. I was a baby, so I don't.
Yeah, no, that sounds right. As an idea of like, all right, well, you don't have a job anymore, but you own a piece of this company.
Yes.
And then they just sold it to. So some rich guy came in, and like how they do with oil in America, like land rights. Oh, I'll just buy all your shares.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. But I think we should give our current president some props because he was when he was you know, before the 1990s democracy revolution, you know, very few people had passports, and he was a international wrestler. He was a competitive wrestler, and he had a passport, and he went to Singapore and in competitions, and that's when he saw video cameras. And he bought video cameras and sold them in Mongolia, a very high markup price. And that's how he started his business.
Yeah.
So before that, there was no video cameras.
You know, only the TV, the main TV station had.
Yeah. Okay. And so just from stories from your parents, I know you weren't alive, but were people in favor, wanted the freedom from the USSR, or did people wish it was like how it was before, where they had a job and all that stuff?
You know, there's some people who were part of the system, who were dependent of the system, they would naturally defend their system, right?
Yeah.
But mostly young people, they would talk about freedoms. You know, they listen to American songs, English songs, and they see people, being free and expressive and having their own property.
Yeah. And who's getting over there? Is it what music? Like Phil Collins? I know he was big in China in 1990. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah. My dad actually, he told me a story that every Mongolian, some elite classes of Mongolian families, they had the Russian radio. And, America used to, it does now. And America used to, from Japan, or I think Saipan, US base, they would transmit radio waves to the Soviet bloc.
Yeah, Radio Free America or something, right?
Was it called
Radio Free Europe? Yeah, Radio Free Europe. Or Asia.
And they would transmit LA rock stations.
Yes.
And my dad used to during nighttime, he would take his my grandfather's radio, and in his bedroom, he would try to tune into American stations. And during nighttime, I think the Soviet radio blockers would shut off for a few hours or something like that.
Yeah.
And he would catch Prince songs and Michael Jackson songs.
Really?
Awesome. It's a really cool story. And he was his mind was blown, he listened to such different songs from what he listens from the central TV,
Yeah, the USSR music was mostly marches and things like this.
Yeah, really big rock group songs. Yeah.
You're saying really Prince would have made it in the USSR?
No, he would have. He would have been gigantic. It's they weren't allowed to listen to
it. I know. I mean, the government, yeah. But,
what about heavy metal? Were Mongolians into heavy metal?
Now, yes. They're heavy metal bands. And now we have a world famous metal band called The Who,
The Who?
The Who,
the actual Who? Roger Daltrey?
H-U. H-U.
I like it.
They're doing their thing,
Because that was also when Chinese people are into, older Chinese people, Generation X type people, 50-year-olds, they're super into heavy metal because that was also the first... It was because that was the first music that came to China when China got allowed to listen, So all the older guys I know are giant 1980s American heavy metal fans. Heavy metal music. Wow. And Russia is too.
So cool.
In Russia, they like heavy metal. This is what got there first. Wow. And so how did...
It went peaceful.
The transfer was peaceful. Yeah. From the USSR to Mongolia. Yeah. There was no like real violent revolution. They didn't have to do anything.
You didn't have a wall to break down or anything. No.
No. It could have been violent, and it could have been they had the army like ready to like just you know Tiananmen Square, you know.
Yeah.
But Mongolians are there's like a difference between Mongolians and China. We are nomadic people, you know. From our like origin, we are nomadic, and we value individual freedom. We could like move away like in our like vast country, and we are very independent. It's in our nature. So I think we value like individual freedoms and individual like independence, and I think that really was the key, you know, key.
So it was just like in their nature to have to open up. And I guess the USSR was falling, so they weren't putting up a fight.
They used to have military bases, right? I assume that they removed.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Were there Russian military in Mongolia?
Yes, there was, because, Russian military, the USSR had, conflict with the China People's Republic of China, but yes. Not really like a physical conflict.
Yeah, and Cold War type.
Yeah, they moved a lot of, you know, manpower and equipment into Mongolia just to like, you know, deter.
Yeah, war. That makes sense, because your border, you border up to, I mean, Inner Mongolia, but that's part of China. That's on your border, so they would move their troops to your border that borders China. Interesting. Kaplan, did you know that? That was something I didn't learn till I moved to China, that we thought it was us against communism, but even within them, China and the USSR had inner
fighting. I knew they weren't
fighting.
They had inner things, but I, yeah,
not
I don't know.
Fighting, but you know, a Cold War. They had their own Cold War.
Who's the biggest dog in the, you know, on the block?
Russia was fighting a Cold War on two fronts.
They were fighting a lot of, But once it fell in China. China had the last laugh, so.
So what about, has there ever been a party? And we should say that the Mongolian People's Party that we were talking about earlier, that the president tried to just get rid of, they've been around since like 1905.
Oh.
And they were the party through the USSR rule. So yeah,
they were the one party in charge.
They're the longest historical history. They have the longest historied party. It would be, getting rid of them is like bizarre. And seemed like it had no chance.
Actually,
it's a good name. I told you.
Yeah. This year is the 100th anniversary of the Mongolian People's Party.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So when democracy starts. Oh, sorry.
No. It's coming. What was the question?
You were saying 100 years. Oh, I was just going to say when democracy started, were they the de facto party that was going to be like do the best in the elections? Is that how it, or was there? Like how many?
Yeah, in 1990, when the USSR fell, were they automatically the ruling party?
After it, no. The students and the university teachers and people who were, you know, trying to bring in ideas of democracy, free market, and you know, libertarian in ideas.
Yeah,
they formed the party of Democratic Party. And they formed the other parties too, you know, Socialist Democratic Party and Green Party and the Mongolian People's Party was named Mongolian People's Revolutionary Party, like before the Democratic Revolution.
Yes.
And they changed their name because they split in two after 2010 or something like that. And
so, so with comedy, you're now, when did you guys start doing comedy? What year?
2014.
And when you started in 2014, were you kind of, that was the first in Mongolia?
Well, stand up, the form of stand up, like doing a comedic speech, you know, comedic you know, performance, like one person on stage in a bar environment, you know, alcoholic environment. It was the first. That one was the first. But before we had like people who do comedy, like one person would talk on stage not non-alcoholic environment. And like the most popular was the theatrical comedy style.
Like in a theater.
Yeah, genre. Yeah, people would act out like sketches on stage. Mm. And that was the like the main type of comedy. And you know, I really liked American comedy, and you know, like grew up watching on YouTube, like Russell Peters. He was really big, like the first big, you know, international.
He was so influential throughout Asia.
Yes,
that I don't know in America if everyone knows that, but anywhere I would go, the first couple of years. So we started. I started in late 2009 in Suzhou in China. And then Andy Curtin, 2010, and then we grouped up and started Kung Fu Comedy. So I was touring 2012, 13, 14, 15 around Asia. And everywhere you would go, people would say like, oh, comedy? You're a comedian? Russell Peters. That was like the first thing they said.
Yeah.
And then eventually they started saying Joe Rogan, and that's when I left. but yeah. Early it was Russell Peters. They all loved him. Yeah.
Yeah, but I liked Cat Williams. He was on a big... Yeah.
That's awesome. He's a street pimp.
Because I really love hip hop culture. I was in a rap group, and my friends are rappers now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're really like popular in Mongolia. And I really like Cat Williams, Dave Chappelle. It was their specials were on YouTube, and you know, Bill Hicks.
Oh wow. You saw it all. That's what's great about YouTube is you could just watch, like you could click through no matter where you are. So you guys have, has it been difficult to maintain a democracy? Because like we were saying earlier, you have China below you, Russia, Putin and Russia above you. Has there been any point when either side has tried to gain ground into Mongolia, or do they kind of have their own problems?
Yeah. Putin hasn't thought of them yet. No.
Yeah.
No. No, they're always, you know, even America and Japan, China, the big countries, the big powers, they're always trying to gain influence in Mongolia, because you can see on the map, Mongolia is in the middle of, you know, Russia, China, very close to, you know, Korea, North Korea. We have a diplomatic relation, a great relationship with North Korea.
Really?
You have a great relationship?
And South Korea.
Rocket Man?
Yeah.
And but you have a great relationship with North and South Korea?
Are they the only country that you say that about?
Yeah, you know, we used to have a really good relationship with North Korea. And now it's like we still maintain the relationship, you know. And we have a great relationship with South Korea. You know, Japan always try to help us. You know, they have their JICA program to give us, you know, technology and funds and stuff. You know, I think they also have their interests too. And
sure,
I feel like that all the big powers, even European Union, they're always doing some projects here. You know,
yes.
And Mongolian government and Mongolian people. We are always trying to, you know, delicately balance all the powers. We can't allow China to have like very big influence. We can't allow Russia to have big influence. We always try to like maintain interests in our country, you know.
Yeah, it
and
is.
Mongolia has a lot of
play everyone against each other kind of thing.
Yeah. Because our population is 3.3 million, you know, it's smaller than New York.
Which is amazing because it's such a big land area.
Yeah,
for that 3.3 million.
Yeah, so and also Mongolia has a lot of natural resources, natural minerals,
mining,
and
right?
Metals. Yeah. Yes, you know some.
So do you? Does Mongolia
call it Mongolia?
Does Mongolia take money from all these? A little bit of money from all these countries. Money could come in the form of technology or from Japan. It does make sense. I'm surprised the United States hasn't made a bigger push into Mongolia, because it's a democracy between Russia and China. You think we would want to give you billions and then have our military set up there and have an Air Force base and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's too much, you know, We can't allow an American military base.
Oh, I agree.
In between of it, that's just calling for trouble.
That seems like problems. Yeah, we put a base in China and
yeah. So we can't allow that. But you know, we could work together. You know, we need American investment. You know, you know, but also like stand-up comedy. It's like you know, it's the byproduct of democracy. You know.
Yes.
So, like soft power, soft cultural, you know, influences. I think
interesting, comedy wise, is that you guys, I assume, can you say whatever you want on stage when you perform? I mean, it's a free.
Well, not if someone like reports the police, you know, but, we can talk about sex, you know, we can talk about like political stuff. We can talk about like, you know, like in America, you know, comedians can talk about Trump, you know, saying his name.
You can talk about the president.
You almost have to. It's almost impossible to have a career in that.
but you can talk about that stuff, as you're saying.
Yeah. But you know, the people in government, they're always trying to chip away on freedom of speech. You know?
So yeah, you own a comedy club.
Yes.
Do you have problems at all?
Not really. I never had like one time I was talking about cannabis on stage, like how it's stupid that it's illegal, and you know, people arrest like people who are like have cannabis, and one time two times actually I've had police come to my comedy club and asked me some questions. They did not like arrest me. They asked me like, what were you talking about? And I was like, I was making a joke about like, you know, cannabis. And they were like, don't do that again. And they just went away.
I can't believe that's the thing they would,
I mean, that's kind of fair. I don't know. It's not, of course, in like other places you can do that, but I guess if you're talking about something illegal, I'm not saying it's fair, but I understand it. And it also, that doesn't seem too limited. That's also like literally in New York, if you can't talk about the president, that would get rid of half the comics. And if you can't talk about weed, it would get rid of the other
it
half.
It would actually improve American comedy if we had censorship because people would be able to talk about.
That's what I was trying to get to. That was
the quality. That would be a good thing. Yeah. Maybe you have to get more creative. Exactly.
Well, you do. Yeah. Honestly, the most creative comedy I've ever seen in my life came out of the group of people I started with in Shanghai and Suzhou.
Get around
because there were limited things, not to get around it, it makes you focus on yourself. Doing comedy about yourself is never against the rules, but it doesn't, that way, not everyone's a hack talking about the president or talking about the parliament or whatever the government thing or that dumb thing in the news that everyone makes a joke about.
Knuckleheads in Congress are at it again.
Exactly. Exactly. And it makes people tell their own personal story as opposed to the bullshit, the other stuff. So I kind of get it.
That's good. You know, sometimes I feel like talking too much about Trump on stage is kind of too much, you know.
Of course.
That happens in Mongolia. People talk too much about Trump. Because let me tell you, it's worse in New York.
No.
Especially when he's not even in the news anymore.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, he's literally like not in the news.
Keeping him alive, you know.
I know. Yeah. It's the only way half these people can maintain a career is to keep him alive. You've been traveling around. So what I'm saying is that I think you guys, because Matt Davis told me that he went one year and met you guys. And this is only less than 5 years ago, I would say. And then you were just like nice guys who just were thinking about maybe opening a comedy club. And then he went back a year later and you were all famous. Wow. So, and you had this amazing comedy club. How did that happen?
It happened, well, Matt Davis, I got to give credit to him. He's the first international comic to, you know, come and perform in Mongolia. So, you know, shout out to Matt Davis. And he's a really good guy. And
he's like Prince for your father. Listening.
He will
to
also
music.
Be on the Living Room show this Friday night, 8 p.m. Eastern. Check it out on Zoom.
Nice. Check him out. And he came in 2016 when I was, when we were, still like hopping around bars, and now I was going to bars and just meeting the managers. Can I do like a funny show like on your?
Did they know what stand up comedy was?
Not like most of them did not like know what I was doing. You know, I didn't even know like how to write a joke, and it was like it just happened like that. And I think Matt Davis came back the second time in 2018 or 2019. That's when I opened our UB Comedy Club. And he saw the progress, but
was that you and him were walking down the street together and people were stopping you in the streets. You're a famous person. All of a sudden he's like, dude, this guy is famous. Like you stop at a restaurant. Everyone knows who he is. They know him walking down the street.
Yeah. It's modest. You're making him.
Yeah. You're glossing over that fact.
Yeah. It happened because of social media, because, you know, we didn't have any like stand up form of comedy before. And, you know, stand up is very, very quick. Like when something happens, we can like make a joke about it, like that day or like the next day.
And then you put it on social media.
Put that clip on social media, and you know it becomes viral because the topic is hot. Mm-hmm. And you know, that way, like a lot of most of the young people saw UB Comedy, and you know it became popular like that.
It was they saw it on social media, and then they want to come to the comedy club and see it live.
Yes,
and that's you. You're the man. You're the famous person that's on social media. That's amazing, man.
Yeah.
How many comedians do you have now, roughly, about in the scene?
I would say like 20 to 30.
Great.
Comedians. Like I started out first, I was alone. You know, I didn't even like have a stage, and I used to do bring my own curtains. You know, like blue curtains. I saw the Jimmy Fallon show. On Tonight Show, and he had a blue curtain. I really liked that color. And went to the market.
He comes through.
Yeah, I went to the market and like bought a blue cotton material, and went, you know, made a curtain. And every bar I go, I just hung up the blue curtain, and that was my brand.
Bring your own curtain.
See all these comedians complaining that no one will book them on their show. They're like, I can't get stage time. They won't book me because they don't like blah, blah, blah. Fill in the blank, whatever, diversity there. They won't book this. Go build your own stage. How about that? Start your own show. Bring your own curtain.
Go buy some curtains.
Go to the market. Yeah. Buy a blue curtain. You can perform anywhere. I like this story. This is how it should be. Exactly. You do it yourself first.
Yeah, so I really wanted to have a professional, you know, like a real comedy club in Mongolia. So I last 7 years of my life, like I just dedicated, you know, to this art form, and it really paid off well. I think that I have a real good development. I feel like I have developed as a person. You know, I was hustling, you know, going to bars and meeting new people. I like actually got in a fight on stage. Like,
That's a good point of development is when you fight an audience member on stage.
Yeah. You actually fight for your stage time, you know,
basically the loser goes home. No stage time.
Loser leaves town.
Loser leaves town. Yeah.
Yeah. Because there was no stage, no crowd control.
If you're the one who's putting up the curtain, I don't think they're offering a bouncer.
Yeah, I was the one like taking ticket money, you know, at the door, and I just hung up the curtains and announced myself from the back of the curtain, you know, here comes butter, and I come out and do like 40 minutes shitty set, and I fight on stage, like choke one guy out on stage.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
was he a heckler or just?
And there's no opener. It's literally the entire show.
Yeah, I'm the entire show, and
great.
You know, the drunk guy just tried to like rip my curtain, and
that's your curtain.
The curtain is very special to me.
That's your blood. Yeah, you put that up yourself.
I can't let that happen. So, so I fought him, and actually, like, let me show you this guy.
Look at this on the YouTube on the video.
Yeah, this is the curtain cloth. I made it like a keychain. I try to like make it a.
You made a keychain out of the original curtain. You made a little pouch.
Yeah, and I made like 100 of them and gave to like my family, my friends, and all the people who supported me in the early days. So they have
Curtain made your first million.
When you're on the Tonight Show, you have your story.
When you go on the Tonight Show,
you have a perfect story. This
you
got to
bring
for
the curtain.
Oh
man,
he's gonna love that.
This video might get you on the Tonight Show. That's amazing, dude. And you set up the room, bring the curtain, take the tickets, announce yourself, host the show, kick
punch
a guy's ass, kick some ass, yeah, take some names, and go home. Have a
That's
beer
a
at the bar. That's a night.
That's a night
Andy
of work.
And I used to think that Andy, ironically, Andy Curtin, I used to think that Andy and I were badasses because we would host, one of us would host and the other one would take tickets. And then if I'm hosting and he's taking tickets, he would be the middle act. So I bring him to stage and then I'd run and go take tickets while he's on stage. And then we'd go and then we'd bring up the headliner. But you did the entire thing by yourself. That's pretty.
Yeah. The beats early us. Days were rough, you know, but it's in Asia, in every Asian, like Asian scene, it starts like that.
It has
you know,
to.
Brian Aylward, he started in Korea.
In South Korea, yeah.
Yeah, he started the Seoul comedy scene and, you know, it's...
Every scene has the exact same story. It takes someone like us to just be like, fine, I'll be the guy who takes the tickets, brings the curtain, kicks someone's ass. You got to be willing to do all of it. Andy was the ass kicker. I was not. I was the...
I was going to say, if you were left to be the ass kicker, you guys were in trouble.
Yeah, we would have folded after 6 months. But Andy, rowdy Australian.
Did you have like hecklers, like rough hecklers to try to like physically confront you?
Yes, we did. We had a guy in Suzhou early on who's a friend of mine, but had a couple too many cocktails, attack a comedian on stage. I say 6 months into us doing comedy.
Is that Joe Schaefer?
No. They didn't attack Joe. It was another different guy. But anyway, we've seen it all. We had a band we were doing a show in Shanghai. And our show started 30 minutes late, no fault of our own. So that we ended 30 minutes late. And there was like a house band, like a cheesy cover band that was supposed to go on after us. And this was me, William Childress, Andy Curtin, Drew Fralick. And as we came out the door, they were all waiting for us outside to kick our ass.
Oh, wow. Childress is a big guy.
Nice. Yeah, we had Childress go first and that calmed him down. But it was because we took 30 minutes of their stage time, apparently. And so this like cover band, they couldn't do Huey Lewis and the News covers. So they wanted to fight us. I mean, it was so ridiculous. So do you think, I guess the question out of this big news story to bring it back is that democracy might be threatened in Mongolia after 20 years of a great democracy. It might be threatened because both sides are wrestling for power. Do you think that's going to happen or do you think democracy is fine? In Mongolia,
I would say it depends on us. Actually, like there's a I can't remember who said it, but there's a great quote by an American leader. I think every generation has to defend democracy.
Yes,
the every generation has to like spill blood or something like that. It was pretty like.
Let's just say it's all you do is say who said it. Say George Washington.
Is that Eisenhower? Or,
you just have to say like
Bukowski.
I don't know.
It was Abraham Lincoln said that at Gettysburg. You just say it and people believe you.
One looks this stuff up.
No one's gonna look it up. Just you gotta pick a name, go with it.
Yeah. It was Chinggis Khan. You know. Just kidding.
Can I ask a question? How do you say his name? Because Joe Rogan always says Genghis Khan. Like he's like a real blowhard move.
Yeah, he's actually trying to pronounce it right, but I know that Americans laugh at you know people trying to pronounce it like the original pronunciation.
So what is the original pronunciation?
Genghis Khan.
That's a good blowhard move to pronounce it right. Correct people who pronounce it right.
Well, I'm on Joe Rogan, I'm gonna correct him. Because he says Genghis Khan. He does it so that people will try to correct him so he can say the other way. But it's Genghis Khan.
Genghis Khan. Yeah.
All right. So anyway, back to democracy. What do you think?
It's going to make it year or day.
Yeah. So I think like it's we have to take responsibility, you know, in the democracy. We have to take care of it like a garden, you know. take out the bad weeds out, you know, water the, you know, good plants, like free speech and free press, you know, individual rights and all those great values. We have to like keep it going and we have to fight for it. And sometimes I feel like on doing comedy in Mongolia, we're like on the battles front, you know?
Yes.
Trying to even talking about like sex and, you know, dick and saying dick jokes, you know, because there's a lot of people who still have that like socialist, you know, Soviet kind of mindset that, you know, the stage is holy, you know, only the only the like the best artist that who, you know, respects the audience, you know.
Yes, they want like ballerinas and stuff.
Yeah. But
no dick joke. They don't want dick jokes.
You tell them Thomas Paine said a society, a democracy without dick jokes is a democracy that dies. Just tell them that.
Yeah, you couldn't have said it better. And I think it's our responsibility and it's our we have to defend it and we have to pass on the values to our next generation. So I think it is our time now. And I don't want to give powers to anybody. Like I don't want anyone to like defend my rights. I will defend my own rights and make an example like that. So I want to encourage young people and everywhere in the world. You know, you are the owner of your own life. You are the, you know, you own your destiny, and you just gotta do it, man. I did it like comedy is. At first, like my family didn't like accept, like because my girlfriend became pregnant, like not by me. I'm just kidding.
I was getting about, I was having the congratulations teed up when you said that.
I'm just kidding. You know, my girlfriend pregnant. I didn't have any job and was doing like this thing that nobody understood, and you know, so just
and it worked.
Go for your, you know, what's in your heart, and you know, just be the boss, master of your destiny, guys. Just
that's
do it.
Beautiful. Yeah. Yes.
And
Bata Batbilik, thank you so much for doing the show, man. So we think that this next election will be fine. Next month is the
election.
Gonna
have it. It's going ahead.
There will be an election. It will go through. Is that right?
Yes, it will go through, and
the People's Party will be on the ballot.
Yeah, People's Party on the ballot, Democratic Party on the ballot, National Workers Party on the ballot, and
that's beautiful.
There's still, but elections are never perfect. There is still like shenanigans going on. Every election, there's like fake accounts on Facebook trying to like sway the opinions of people, and
yes,
you know,
that's just kind of reality now.
Just don't rig the election like we did. Have a look.
Yeah.
And we're gonna hit number one in Mongolia. I smell it with this episode. So we're going to have to add Mongolia to the world tour when we come. So hopefully you guys
yeah, we got to come play the UB Comedy Club. We'll do a live podcast.
I got a lot of dick jokes to tell.
I've got a lot of dick jokes. That's the show, everybody. Bata Batbilik.
Welcome, guys.
UB Comedy Club. Everybody check it out online. Check him out on online YouTube. Check them both, him and the show and the comedy club out on YouTube. Kaplan, that's it. What should we do?
Let's get lost.
Get lost.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.